In football, I really didn't get nervous. Where in golf, I have zero reps. Like, I just don't have the reps to really go back on and to feel comfortable on the first tee box, right? So I get really nervous. I kind of always had this, like, a little bit of this delusional mindset of just kind of like having so much self-confidence. I thought I was a lot better than I really was. And I really fell in love with competitive golf, you know, playing in Tahoe at the American Century Championship. Like, it's such an amazing tournament that feels like you're in a PGA event that just really made me fall in love with that competition side of golf.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
All right, Adam, you're going to be probably one of the few people on this podcast who aren't going to need a introduction, because most of the people that listen to it, you're Minnesotans, and I think they're going to know who Adam Thiel is. So thanks for coming on the pod, man. You're now a professional golfer. That's right.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on retirement as well. It's all official and you're hanging up the cleats.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a different phase of life, but I'm excited about it. Really taking advantage of it these last, you know, 4 or 5 months, and definitely playing more golf and being able to focus my time on golf, which is fun.
Well, I saw you were surfing last night too. You get the 360 down yet? I saw it at the end there. Have we landed one or no?
That was as close as I've gotten to landing one, which I was pretty excited about, but didn't quite get it. And then it was time to go, so I didn't get any more attempts at it. But no, it's been fun to enjoy the summer, and it'll be really nice to be able to actually enjoy in August. I've never really actually been able to play golf or, you know, enjoy the summer on the lake. So it'll be a little different having like an August and a September to play some more golf.
Yeah, man. So it took me like 2 years to land my first 360. We're out on Lake Minnetonka and we go a few times a week, and I'll give you the piece of advice that completely changed it for me. When you're getting around, stand up. Like, and even if you're trying, like, put your arms out and stand up. Because what happens is when you're super low like that, you'll just continue to spin and you can't stop your spin. If you stand up, it'll kind of, like, stop it for you. And then you'll continue to ride out and you'll be a pro wake surfer before you know it.
All right, I'm trying that next time.
So my first interaction with you is actually different than most. It was, I actually looked this up, October 20th, 2012. Do you have any guesses as to what that was?
October 20th, 2012.
Yeah.
Well, it must
be. It's not a personal interaction, but you were playing at Mankato.
I went to
Winona State.
Okay.
You routed us up for like 10, 128, and 3. That was my first time hearing the name Adam Thielen, and then obviously you went on to play for the Vikings. But I came prepared for this. You were a golf state champion back in like 2007, is that right?
Yeah, we were team state champions. I wasn't an individual. But I was
you were still part of it.
I was part of the team. We was the first state championship for Detroit Lakes High School, and was pretty special. And now they've kind of gone on to have a bunch of them. The girls golf team just won state again and started a little tradition. My senior year, we won the state championship, and there was a pond by the 18th hole, and I said, let's go jump in the pond. And everyone was like, no, we're not doing that. I said, no, we're jumping in. So our whole team jumped in the pond, and now it's tradition. Every team does it and has done it since then, male and female. So pretty cool to kind of start that tradition.
Dude, that's awesome. I had no idea, like, you actually played, like, you were pretty good. I think it said you were a scratch golfer. Was there ever any thought of playing golf, or were you always just going to go and play football in college? Or like, was there a little bit of you that like wanted to play golf?
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny because golf was really just something I did because my friends did it in high school. You know, my personality is not really built for the game of golf, which is a challenge. I like to ride the roller coaster of emotions, and really helped me in my football game, just being really passionate and energetic and You know, really, again, just kind of riding those emotions in the game of golf, as we all know, is not a good thing. And so really it was a challenge, especially with the immaturity as a young high schooler. But, you know, just kind of did it because I love the guys on the team. We kind of all played football together and other sports together, and all played golf together. But I played four sports all the way through high school. And basically whatever sports season was between football, basketball, baseball and golf, cause it was kind of my favorite, but mostly football and basketball. And actually basketball was my favorite sport all the way through high school. But really pretty even between basketball and football, and really just wanted whatever the best opportunity was. And honestly, if it was, you know, a D1 golf offer would have came, I probably would have gone that direction just cause I wanted to compete at the highest level. And, you know, Mankato being Division II gave me my best offer to do that, and was excited about that opportunity.
Yeah, obviously worked out as well. In hindsight, was there any like part of you that thought you could have gone and maybe played at a super high level as well in any of the other sports? Or, you know, like, it's funny how life works out, right? But like, you know, I imagine now that, you know, you're retired and you're looking back, and now you're going to go, and we'll talk a little bit about the pro in golf, but you know, is there ever a part of you that looked back and thought, man, like, I was pretty good at this too. Maybe I could have taken a run at it.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this a lot recently, just doing some different speaking engagement and things since I've retired. But I kind of always had this like a little bit of this delusional mindset of just kind of like having so much self-confidence and probably more confidence than I should, right? Like, I thought I was a lot better than I really was. And I say that to say that I really felt strongly about my basketball game, and I still do, right? Like, I still think I'm probably a lot better than I am playing pickup hoops, right? But I really felt strongly about what I could do in basketball and football, and really baseball, to be honest. Golf, I was pretty realistic. Like, I just wasn't good enough, and I didn't put enough time into it as a high schooler to play at the next level. But yeah, I think if I would have, you know, been given an opportunity to play basketball or play baseball somewhere, and put the time and energy and work into it, and really being focused on one sport. Cause again, I played four sports throughout high school, and whatever season it was, like, I was given 100% attention to that sport, and all my energy was going to that sport. So, you know, I wasn't able to get really skilled in any one particular sport. So kind of what happened with football, right? Like, I got to Mankato and I was able to specialize and really just focus on in the weight room and on the field with just football, and really took off and got a lot better.
Well, so it's interesting now that you talk about you're going to have time to put a lot more, you know, effort and your craft into professional golf and like the pro league. I talked with Tyler Clipper last week. Obviously, I know Rick Helling, who's been playing in all the tournaments as well, as kind of how we got connected. But like, what are you looking forward to now that you're going to have time and you're playing in a, you know, actual professional league with other guys who are going to have this just crazy competitive mindset? And I imagine you think you can go out there and, you know, compete with all of them. What's it going to look like for you? Like, obviously you're a dad as well, and you probably want a little bit more time, but, you know, like, is it going to be a pretty, you know, serious practice deal that you're going to go after, or how are you going to approach the golf game?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, I talk about high school and you know, kind of how I wasn't really focused on golf. Well, when I started playing like competitive golf as a when I was in the NFL and had a little time in the off seasons to play a little bit, and I really fell in love with competitive golf. You know, playing in Tahoe at the American Century Championship, like, it's such an amazing tournament that feels like you're in a PGA event. That just really made me fall in love with that competition side of golf. And now, ever since then, I was like kind of just waiting for retirement to be able to actually be able to compete, and to pour some time into it, right? Like, my football season for golf, really, I put the clubs away for 6-7 months because I was either too tired or didn't have the time, right? Like, have three kids. Like, it's hard to have one off day during the season and say, all right, peace out, I'm going to be gone for 5 hours and not see you on my off day. So literally put the clubs away for 6-7 months. And then again, I had to do that again during OTAs in June and May and June, where I didn't really touch the club much then either. So it was really challenging, as you know, like, if you don't pick up the clubs for a month even, like, and you come back, you just feel like you've never swung a club before. And so it's nice to just be able to focus on that and put some time into it. I've taken a couple lessons and really been able to focus on the things that I'm being taught, which I've never really done before again. So yeah, it's been really good, and excited to play a lot of golf. I actually have the pro tournament coming up next week. I have a couple pro-ams after that, and then American Century Championship in Tahoe after that. And then I'm playing in a mini tour event in Brainerd in August. So I got a lot of competitive golf coming up that I'm really excited about.
Well, you're talking to a fellow golf sicko, and I heard you say that you're like working on some things in the swing. A lot of people that are going to listen to this are also golf sickos. Can we hear a little bit about what you're working on? Like, is it technique? Is it kind of setup, alignment? Like, what are you working on right now in the swing that you think is going to kind of bring some consistency to the game? Because that's a lot of tournament golf. That's a grind as much as it is physically and mentally. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are the things that you're working on right now?
Yeah, it's actually, it's interesting because as an athlete, like, I've always tried to kind of figure it out myself. You know, I love the game of golf and have loved it for a long time. And so I've always tried to find ways to improve. And usually it was like, you know, I see a clip here, like, oh man, I could use that. Or watching some of these guys' swings, and you're like, oh, like, okay, now I videotape my swing and like try to emulate that. But I didn't really understand the fundamentals of the golf swing and kind of where you get your power from and kind of where you get your consistency from. So I say that all to say that I was doing it opposite. Like, I was really arms and wristy and like kind of just figuring it out as an athlete as I'd get to the ball and have to time it up pretty much perfect. So what happens then is either I'd hit it really good or it would be really inconsistent and you have the two-way misses and things like that. So what I'm working on is really using the lower body. And so kind of getting the rotation, starting with the lower body and then just kind of letting the lower body kind of control the face through the ball and stay square. So that's really what I've worked on. I'm kind of, sometimes I go in between swings, which gets a little bit nasty, especially when I get into like tight fairways or get into a competitive round where I get a little tense, right? And so I got to work that out. But when I really trust this new swing technique, it's been really, really helpful, and the consistency's gotten there.
Well, I found an old quote from Brooks Koepka that said, you're just going to need like 6 to 8 months of tune-up, and you could probably play at a pretty high level because the ball speed is there. Like, obviously, you're a strong dude, and you're an athlete, so you find a way to hit it far. Where did that come from? Did you and Brooks play together? He's like one of my favorite golfers of all time, by the way, so I'm curious. Did you guys play like a pro-am or something together, or where is that?
Yeah, we played in a pro-am at the Waste Management Open probably five years ago. And that particular day I was on and I was feeling good and I hit the ball great. You know, the first couple holes, it's funny, you play in these pro-ams and it's always kind of the first couple holes that they kind of feel out the group and, you know, they're kind of to themselves. And then they kind of see if you can play a little bit and you show a little bit of like, you know what you're doing. It's funny how they start to, you know, open up a little bit, start to talk to you. But we had a really cool bond in that, you know, 9 holes. Maybe we played 18 in that day because it was a bigger event. And it was, you know, back in when they would play 18 holes in the pro-ams. But, you know, we just had a really good bond. I think he has that kind of athlete mindset and that background of just kind of thinking about the game a little differently. And so we just really clicked and connected and had a great round. And it was pretty cool to hear his comments after the round. But I still don't necessarily believe what he's saying, but I'm definitely going to give it a run and try as hard as I can to get as good as I can and play as much, like I said, competitive golf as I can.
Well, the mental part of it is interesting. So I was trying to figure out a couple like different question to ask you, and one thing that I've tried to work on my game in the past, call it 2 years, is the mental side. And like, I've always viewed it as two things. There's the mental side where it's the strategy side of it, right? Like learning what pins to fire at, when's not to, when to play a little more conservative, when to play aggressive. And then the other mental side of it is like your actual mental toughness, or being able to like overcome a bad shot, or you get yourself in a bad place, and you know how to kind of get out of that. Like, you know, football is so different than golf in the aspect of like, dude, on Sundays, you're playing in front of 60, 70,000 people, right? And then like you get out on a golf course and it's kind of just you and your thoughts, and you kind of have to feed off yourself as opposed to maybe feeding off like the defense or turnover, like whatever it may be in football. How do you manage that? Or like, do you just approach everything the exact same way? I'm curious to talk to you because I haven't talked to anybody in the NFL yet. And like, to me, those two things are so different. I just want to know like how you're, you know, trying to approach that, because it's in my mind, way different, but you might have a different opinion.
No, it's definitely a lot different. I actually used competitive golf to help me become a better football player, because I felt like it was the only way that I could really challenge myself in my mental toughness. And, you know, like, there's some great mental coaches out there that I've used, mental performance. But at the same time, like, for me to really like challenge myself and to work on it, I feel like golf is the only way to do that. And competitive golf, right? Like, if you're just going to play with your buddies, that's different than having to make every 3-footer and you know, everyone sees your score and you're competing against these guys. And so I just felt like it was a really good way to enhance and better myself in my sport. Now that I'm done playing, I'm thinking about, you know, how can I become a better golfer mentally, right? The same things you talked about. There's two sides of it, right? One is like, how can I handle my emotions and move on from a bad hole? Like, I've always been the golfer that makes a lot of birdies and a lot of doubles. And so how can I, number one, avoid the doubles? But if I do make a double, how can I not make another double? And so how can I overcome some adversity throughout the course? So that's something I'm really working on. The other side of it is like, for so long, it's like, I shoot the pin, boom, it's like 195. All right, I'm going to hit a 6-iron and you hit it. And then you get up, you're like, oh man, I'm like, I went long. It's like, well, yeah, because the pin's in the back and you landed it by the flag and you bounced over, right? Like, so there's that mental aspect of like, all right, like, there's a little bit more thinking that goes into it other than just shooting the pin and saying, all right, I'm going to hit this number, right? Like, what's the wind doing? Do I want to be short of this pin? Is it a front pin? Is it a back pin? Is it a left pin? Do I have to be right of the pin? Like, there's so many thoughts, even, you know, off the tee, like, I hit it a long way. So sometimes that brings me into trouble. Sometimes I just need to hit a 5-wood off the tee or a 4-iron and just play it smart. You know, the other day I was playing and there was a par 5 that I probably shouldn't go for, right? Like, and just make it a 3-shot hole. That's fine. And I ended up making a birdie because as much as I didn't want to, I hit a 7-iron on my second shot and put it to 100 yards and hit it to 5 feet, made my putt. So it's like, there's so many of those aspects that I need to work on. And now, again, I have the time to do it. I'm not just like showing up the course, trying to, you know, play 18 holes as fast as I can and then, you know, not play in a week or two and do it again. It's I have a little bit more time to kind of think through the game, which obviously saves you a ton of shots.
Well, so are you going to, you know, talking about the pro a little bit, is this going to be your first tournament with the pro that you're playing at Mystic, or have you played some of the other events?
This will be my second. Unfortunately, I had to miss a bunch of them just because of prior engagements that kind of fell in the same weeks. But yeah, this will be my second tournament. I played in the Mississippi one in Biloxi, which was a really cool golf course and a great tournament. And again, you know, it's very similar to the American Century Championship, a lot of the same guys, very similar format without the fans, but it's still, for us as athletes, we don't really care about the fans. We just are competing so hard no matter what, because there's a scoreboard, you know, there's the same kind of guys that you know that you're going to be competing against and have a little bit of a like, all right, like I know I'm in this range of these guys, like now I got to go show that, right? And I got to go beat them. So it's really fun and really thankful to be a part of it.
Well, so are you going to have anybody on the bag, or are you just out there solo dolo? Like, when I talked to Clip, he said his brother is on the bag for him for all these. And like, you know, Tyler is super dialed in and he's got, I think he's played in every single one already. So he's, you know, definitely within his process and figured this thing out. For you, are you bringing somebody when you go to these, or are you just going out as Adam and figuring it out on your own?
Yeah, I really treat it as like an opportunity to hang out with some of my buddies. So I usually invite, you know, close friend, buddy, my brother-in-law, who, you know, is very similar to me in a lot of ways. Caddies for me out in Tahoe most of the time. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to kind of have like a little boys trip, right? And just hang out and be able to have some fellowship with some close friends.
Have you had any experiences on the golf course yet where, like, you're more nervous out on the golf course than you ever were, maybe not ever were, but than were when you were playing football? Like, I had this combo with somebody the other day where, cause I would say before this year, I really struggled in competitive golf. And I think to your point, it always had to do with your name being out there for everybody to see. Like, I play out at Winsong. We've got a lot of really good players who are always playing competitive golf and they're checking leaderboards and checking scores. And there was just always something in the back of my mind that like, man, my name is up there for everybody to see. And like, I have this expectation I'm going to play really well. And then I don't. And it almost feels like this embarrassment. And that always lingered for me. And then I went through a whole year where I just played really shitty. I was like, well, it can't get worse than this. And this year I started to play a little bit better in tournament golf and kind of gotten over that hump. But dude, I still get really nervous on the first tee. Like, I kind of get the butterflies a little bit. Do you ever find that you get nervous on the golf course, or have you just played at such a level now, say with all these other pros, like you've been on the biggest stages and it doesn't bother you, or are you human like the rest of us?
Well, it's funny because I think in football, I really didn't get nervous. There was a little like anxiousness, like just to get the game going and get started and just like be able to just go and play. But like once the whistle blew, with football, I had so many reps, right? Like I had so many practices, so many games in my life, and so many big moments, right? In college and in the NFL with 13 years, right? That I just banked on those reps. Where in golf, I have zero reps. Like I just don't have the reps to really go back on and to feel comfortable on the first tee box, right? So I get really nervous. I mean, in Tahoe, on that first tee box, it's like crazy nervous. I honestly, for the first 18 holes, just like, cause you want to put a good score out there. Really the first day for me on any of these are the hardest, because like, that's your day to kind of set the standard and really keep yourself in the tournament and things like that. So just those nerves of just wanting to perform at such a high level, and you put so much into it and you want it so badly and you're so competitive that you definitely put more nerves on yourself than really the circumstances.
Yeah, it's like the crazy thing about golf that I just haven't experienced in anything else is like this, every shot matters. And like when you do start to play a little bad, or even when you play good, it's almost like you're out on an island by yourself and like nobody can come save you, right? Like it's this weird feeling of I'm out there and like I have to, whatever like hand I deal myself, like I've got to play. And that for me has been the hardest thing to get over. And then like ultimately when you just play either so bad or you have those bad rounds, you're like, well, I don't know, man, like it can't get worse. Like, what's the worst that can happen? I heard Rory say, like, what's the worst that can happen? I hit it out of bounds. Like, I know I've got the skill level to drop it, hit it on the green, two putt, and then still make bogey. And somehow I keep on coming back to like that. And I figured out like, yeah, it could be a lot worse things. And seems to be the thing that I always come back to and am able to figure out. For you, like now that you're done, you're moving on to play professional golf. It's interesting, like in professional sports, there is inevitably this shelf life, right? Like obviously some guys end up playing longer. You had a really long career in golf. Like we're able to play this sport until we're 70 or 80 or who knows. There's some guys at Winsong that play into their like mid and late 80s, which is just awesome. How are you going to start like training and prepping your body for like this longevity of this game that I imagine you really feel like you want to be able to play for a long time?
Yeah, I think for me, as soon as I, you know, knew I was retiring, it was kind of like making sure that I didn't really take a break from staying in shape. And now I'm not training. I'm more so working out and staying in shape than I am training, right? Like when I was in football, like it was a long deal. It was a 2-hour, you know, training session 4 days a week, and you know, a lot of recovery and the in between times that put a lot of time. For me now, it's like, all right, like I'll play basketball twice a week, stay in really good, you know, conditioning, and then work out as much as I can in my house with, you know, maybe upper body here, lower body there, upper body here, lower body there, but it's nothing intense, maybe 20, 30 minutes when I can fit it in throughout the day. But yeah, just trying to stay in shape so my body feels good. I feel great after a 13-year career, which is amazing, and excited to keep it that way and not kind of let myself fall off. And that's when you run into troubles, right? When you kind of take a break and it's hard to get back into it once you get out. So I really try to not take that break, so I didn't have to find a way to get back into it.
Well, looking at the pro, the NFL guys, I feel like need a little help. It seems like the pro right now is being dominated by a lot of the hockey and baseball guys. I don't know who all is there from a NFL standpoint, but I think it's really cool how they lay it out with like, you got the MLB, you got NHL, NBA, NFL, and then kind of all the other sports are in that fifth bucket. Who right now in the NFL that you know of, like you are going to be waiting for them to retire so they can potentially come out to the pro and and help out? Are there any just sticks that people would be like, man, I never would have thought that this guy can go out and, you know, play at a super high level? Who in the league's, you know, probably a pretty good player that people don't know about?
Yeah, I think there's a few kickers out there that are pretty talented. Other than that, there's not really too many guys. Again, like, football is tough, right? Like, you just don't play it during the season, 7 months break, right? And then there's quite a few guys that play, you know, in the offseason quite a bit, especially the guys that maybe are younger and don't have kids and things like that. They're playing a lot of golf in the offseason, but still, like, you take 6-7 months off and probably didn't have much experience before you got to the NFL. It's tough to pick up the game of golf, especially to get to the level of competing and doing those things. But, you know, a guy like Garrett Graham, who's already out there, I mean, I think the one day when I was in Mississippi, he had like 7 birdies in the last 18. So, and it might've been like 6 in the last 9, something like that. It was something crazy, and I could be wrong, but it was something crazy. And then, you know, Tony Romo has always been really good. So there's a couple of NFL guys. But we'll see. I know that there's a couple of kickers out there that will surprise some people once they retire.
That's actually, I feel like that's so on brand, and that's with all due respect to the kickers, but that the kickers are able to, like, you know, play really good golf. I probably could have chalked that one up on my bingo card. I want to know what your dream foursome is. Have you ever thought about who your dream, like, foursome in golf could be? It doesn't have, I guess it could be all time, but, like, if you were to go out right now and, like, you know, the course that you wish you could play, who would you be bringing? Like, who's Adam playing his foursome with?
Yeah, that's pretty easy, probably. Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, and Brooks Koepka.
I've heard you say Rick. You said Ricky before when I was doing some research. Are you and Ricky boys, or is he just like, he's kind of like your guy?
Ricky's my guy. I've always loved him since he, you know, kind of came onto the scene. I loved his swagger, his confidence, his style. I loved how he kind of changed the game a little bit as far as, like, being not traditional, like wearing the, you know, khakis and whatever, you know. I really enjoyed the, like, kind of confidence and kind of sporty feel to the golf game, which, but yeah, I've always been a huge fan of him. And so, yeah, he's one of my favorite golfers of all time.
In that foursome, let's say you got a 4-ball match, who you pick as your partner? Is it you and Ricky versus Brooks and Tiger?
I think it's Brooks and I. I think we just have that, like, chemistry.
You're going Brooks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's that chemistry, that, like, competitiveness. We'd be teamed up.
I love that, man. So you guys play, you got the Pro-Am on Tuesday. That's a Mystic. And then are the rounds, I forget, is it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Like, you guys do a full 3 rounds?
Yep, full 3 rounds, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, yeah, it's a lot of golf. And you get really, really tuned up and dialed in by Friday, which is great. That's what I love, you know. And in the past, it would be like American Century Championship. I'd get just super dialed by Sunday, and I'd finally just have, like, the feel and all that. And then literally that was my last round of golf until end of January, February. So it'll be exciting to, like, kind of get into that groove and then have a couple weeks and then right into Tahoe. It'll be awesome.
And then last question that I'll let you go, because I know you got your boys at home today and probably going to wake up any time. Is MJ from Unreal giving you, like, kits now? Like, are we going to start seeing on Unreal, like, the Adam Thielen kit for the pro tournament? We're going to start seeing all 3 days of the fits, or are we not at that level yet with your now professional golf career?
No, I think we got some stuff in store. So not only that, where we'll kind of put out some fits and stuff, but I think there's some exciting stuff to come, and I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I mean, MJ's the man, and have a great relationship with all those guys over there, him and Dave. So excited to see where that goes. And obviously a huge fan of Unreal and everything they're doing, and just the way that they just keep progressing, right? Like, they're not staying the same. They're trying to be the best, and they're always coming up with new styles and new combinations. And you know, these little hoodies are fantastic for golf. So it's exciting to kind of be a part of it in a small capacity and kind of help you know, push the brand.
Yeah, man, it's been really cool. MJ and I went to high school together, and I remember buying his first t-shirt when he was in college, and to see where it's come today, and, like, it's all full circle. I'm doing a podcast with you, and you're wearing Unreal stuff going into the pro at the Pro-Am next week. It's pretty crazy how this world works sometimes. So best of luck next week. Again, congratulations on retirement. I'll be following along all your you know, professional golf tournaments the rest of the summer. You're going to be really busy. So best of luck getting dialed.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.